Israel has issued a threat that will destroy Syrian air defense systems. This comes after Israel conducted illegal air raids in Syria. In this debate, we will look at why Israel has chosen this time to threaten Syria when Syria is engaged in an all-out war against the foreign-backed terrorists and is winning that war.
New threats by Israel against a regional nation. Tel Aviv has threatened to destroy Syrian air defense systems when it deems necessary. The threat was issued by Israeli Minister of Military Affairs, Avigdor Lieberman.
Lieberman, I've written about a number of times. I wonder if your viewers know that before he emigrated to Israel, he was a bouncer in a Moldova nightclub, former Soviet Republic. So it kind of fits the role that he's playing now. He's Israel's defense minister, more like its war minister. And just imagine what he said, I guess on Israeli television to Syria. If you dare interfere with our ability to attack you aggressively, violating international law, we'll smash you even more than we're doing already.
The Syrian army earlier said it had fired several surface-to-air missiles at Israeli warplanes after they conducted a series of airstrikes around the ancient city of Palmyra. The attack happened on Friday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has claimed that the airstrikes targeted weapons bound for Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah. Netanyahu added that the Israeli military will take similar measures again if necessary. Israel has launched numerous attacks inside Syria since the conflict began in the Arab country in 2011. But this is the first time it claims such an attack. The latest airstrikes against Syria prompted a reaction from Russia. The Russian Foreign Ministry summoned Israel's ambassador to Moscow to demand what it called clarifications regarding the aggression against Syria. Tel Aviv has not hidden its support for a regime change in Syria. On the surface, Israel is opposed to a scenario under which the Syrian government would be replaced by extremists. But observers believe that underneath the veneer of preferring moderation over extremism, the Israeli regime sees terror groups including Al-Qaeda and even Daesh and the like as much less dangerous than President Bashar al-Assad. Syria is regarded as the forefront of what has come to be called the axis of resistance against Israel in the Middle East. Israel has taken each and every opportunity during the Syria conflict to undermine the country's government in different ways, including assisting the anti-Syria militants. The airstrikes have been of great help to the terror groups, which try to topple Assad.
Absolutely. Since the beginning of the conflict in March 2011, Israel has been supporting terrorists, treating their wounded in Israeli hospitals, supplying weapons and munitions. And now we have this comment from Lieberman. Apparently he's angry about Syria actually downing one of Israel's aircraft. Israel denied it, but maybe it really happened, and that would really get Israel angry.
Tel Aviv has had a long history of waging wars on regional countries since it was installed in the Middle East in the wake of World War II.
Our guest joining us with this edition of the debate, we have Jeffrey Alderman. He's a historian and political commentator who joins us from London. Jeffrey Alderman, welcome. Israel's Minister of Military Affairs has threatened to destroy Syria's air defense systems. And according to him, using his words, without the slightest hesitation. Why is Israel leveling a threat against Syria in that form and manner?
Because under United Nations Security Council Resolution 1701 of 2006, it is illegal for anyone, any person, any state, any entity to ship arms to Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And the Israeli airstrikes, as your reporter said, near Palmyra on Friday, was to take out a convoy of arms from Iran to Hezbollah. That is illegal, and Israel was supporting a United Nations resolution.
Okay, so that's what Israel has said. Where's the proof?
The proof is that it's very, very rare indeed for Israel, the Israeli Air Force, the Israeli Defense Forces, to admit that they have carried out airstrikes in Syria. And I think we can gauge the importance, the extreme sensitivity of Israel about this, to the fact that the Israeli government in Jerusalem has admitted that this airstrike took place. Incidentally, there's one significant fact about the aftermath of this airstrike that's important. As your report quite rightly said, the Syrian forces launched SAM surface-to-air missiles against the Israeli warplanes. These were out-of-date surface-to-air missiles that had no chance whatsoever of knocking out Israeli warplanes. That, I think, has to be recognized and factored into the equation.
Still didn't hear an answer there regarding the proof. Let me bring in our next guest, Marwa Osman, political commentator, who joins us from Beirut. Marwa Osman, a serious threat after Israel conducted some air raids, asked for some proof from Jeffrey Alderman. He didn't provide any. Why is Israel, who has illegally conducted these air raids and not the first time, making these types of threats against Syria?
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't hear what your other guest was saying. I just got connected with you right now. But let us talk about what actually happened, what the media is talking about, and what the statement that was given from the Syrian Arab Army. What happened is on 2 a.m., on Friday 2 a.m. in the morning, there were four planes, warplanes, Israeli warplanes, that targeted certain bases inside of Palmyra, which is Syrian land, and where the Syrian Arab Army has been fighting ISIS and gaining grounds with ISIS along with the allies there. Now, what happened is there was an immediate response from the Syrian Arab Army by firing S-200 missiles against those four planes. Two planes were hit. One plane was hit, but it didn't get downed. But another plane was downed, according to the statement issued by the Syrian command.
Where's the proof?
A higher command. I don't think that I'm talking to you. I think I'm talking to the presenter. I'm talking to the viewers of Press TV.
No, you're talking to me as well. Where's the proof?
No, I think that the Syrian Arab Army stating it is proof enough. Because trust me, if we want to just listen to what the government of the Zionist entity is saying, we could end up by saying that they are the biggest democracy in the Middle East, which is not, which is the biggest lie they have ever invented, and which is, by the way, whether the plane was downed or not, they actually got into a sovereignty, or they stepped into the sovereignty of an independent state. They have been targeting certain so-called objectives for them inside of the Syrian territory, and that is not only illegal, that is a cause of war. So let them just thank their God, whoever it is, that this did not actually escalate into a war. But I think what they are doing right now at the Golan Heights, we have seen pictures today that were actually published at the New York Times showing that inside of the Syrian occupied Golan Heights, the Israeli entity is actually now displaying the Iron Dome, which obviously showed that it is not working. And by the way, the Iron Dome is only for ground-to-ground missiles, and the S-200 were ground-to-air missiles, so I don't think that's going to help anymore. But given what was going on, and especially given the short span of time between the visit of the Israeli Prime Minister, the Israeli entity's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, to Moscow, and the escalation that happened 2 days ago in Syria, and after that, the actual summoning of the Israeli ambassador in Moscow by the Russian president, I think this shows a new level of strategy that is being played out inside of Syrian territory, especially given the fact that inside of Palmyra there were also Russian forces present there. So I think we just need to take a step backward and see where this will take everyone, because any escalation of any sort, especially right now, is not going to be helpful for anyone.
Well, let's talk about that piece there, Jeffrey Alderman, that our guest from Beirut, Marwa Osman, said, and that is the fact that there were Russian soldiers in the area. And we know that the Israeli ambassador was summoned by Russia. Putin actually wanted to find out why this took place, because there is obvious coordination between Israel and Russia when it comes to operations, especially air operations inside Syria. The strikes, they really hit close to what we have reports indicating that Russian troops were located in that area. So why wasn't there consultations with Russia made on this, do you think?
Well, I think there's no doubt that there were Russian troops in the area. and the Russian government is not very happy about Israel carrying out military operations so close to Russian troops. You're absolutely right. The Israeli ambassador in Moscow was called in for clarification. Now, that's an important word in diplomacy to use. He wasn't called in to be harangued. He wasn't called in to be ticked off. He was called in for clarification. And I suspect, I've no proof of this, but I suspect that what's going to happen is much closer cooperation between the Russian troops on the ground in Syria and the Israeli Defense Forces about future operations. It's possible that the Russians had no inkling in advance that this Israeli attack was going to take place, and they would be far happier if they received some notice in advance so that they could take whatever action is appropriate. It's interesting that there has been no condemnation from Moscow against the Israeli action, certainly none that I've heard of. Perhaps your TV station has heard of some, but I've not picked up anything of this in London.
Why do you think there hasn't been any, if that is true, Marwa Osman, from Russia against Israel?
Well, if Russia was to actually condemn this attack, it should have condemned other previous attacks that took place on Syrian territory or on Lebanese territory for that matter, but specifically on Syrian territory, because we know in the past, especially in the past 6 years, there have been certain aggressions from the Israeli entity towards the southern side of Syria, which is in Kunaitra, where they killed, they targeted and they killed several commanders in Hezbollah, and again in Jaramana, where they killed the late the martyr Samir al-Qantar, and again in northern Syria, especially in areas where there was infighting between the Syrian Arab Army, the allies against ISIS and against Nusra as well. And now in Palmyra, where, as I said, the Syrian Arab Army was gaining ground against ISIS after months of fighting against these terrorist groups. And now it just seems that the Israeli entity, who, by the way, said that they were targeting Hezbollah bases or Hezbollah long-range missiles being delivered to the resistance, which, by the way, up until now, we don't have any evidence of that. We don't have any statement from either side about if that is true or not. But the thing is, by actually targeting Palmyra in specific at this point in time, when we have not only Syrian Arab Army, not only Hezbollah, we have Russian sappers taking care of the landmines and the bombs that were placed there by the terrorists, by the ISIS terrorists. Such an aggression on such a site is not only raising eyebrows, if you will, in Moscow, but it is now putting them in a position that says, you have to condemn. If you don't condemn, this will happen again. And if this time Russian sappers or Russian soldiers were not targeted or were not killed by such an attack, maybe next time that will happen. That's why Moscow, maybe it's now walking a very fine line between whether to condemn or not.
Okay, Jeffrey Alderman, let's listen to this statement that I'm going to tell you that was issued by the Syrian Army General on the issue. He said that Israel had carried out strikes near Palmyra to help Daesh terrorist gangs and in a desperate attempt to raise their deteriorating morale and divert attention away from the victories which the Syrian Iron Army is making in the face of these terrorist organizations. What is your reaction to that statement, Jeffrey Alderman?
My reaction is to smile broadly. This is a complete misreading of the situation. Israel is no friend of the Assad regime in Damascus. On the other hand, the Assad regime in Damascus is the devil that Israel knows. That an ISIS or Daesh, as you say, takeover in Syria would be absolutely devastating for the Israel's Weltpolitik in that part of the Middle East. Israel has always regarded the threat to its existence as much greater from the north than from the south, which, in spite of the occasional missile from Gaza, is relatively quiescent. But it's the north that is the sensitive point. And certainly, there have been, I should add, some instances of attempted incursions by ISIS affiliates from Syria into Israel on the Golan Heights. And Israel, I should think the last thing that the government in Jerusalem wants is an ISIS continued presence in that part of its northern sphere of influence.
Okay, Marwa Osman, I need to ask this. I'm going to ask it from you. Isn't it strange that Israel has largely been unaffected by this war that is raging on in Syria next door and maybe suffering at most some sporadic spillover or fire?
Why would it suffer when it is actually the main instigator and the main player in the war that has been going on for the past 6 years in Syria? I mean, just yesterday when certain areas were being liberated in Hayy al-Jura, in the Jura area in Homs, there was Israeli weaponry found with the rebels who were supposedly, or with the terrorists who were supposedly reconciliating with the government. And again, we found, after the liberation of Aleppo, we found certain weaponry as well, Israeli-made weaponries. And we have seen for the past 6 years also Israel working as the air force, the special air force for ISIS and for Nusra, especially Ahrar al-Sham. So why would it be affected when it is actually the main playmaker in this and this war? Some might say that Israel has been overprotective, or that Israel is having its own war in Gaza, and now it might be affected by the so-called ISIS in the Sinai Peninsula. The recent 2 weeks we have seen in the Sinai Peninsula a lot of activity for the ISIS members, with checkpoints and with a lot of movie making as well. But the thing is, if you look at what was happening on the northern part of occupied Palestine, which is the southern border of Syria, Al-Nusra faction, or the affiliates of Al-Qaeda, were getting treatment from Israel. They were getting weapons and training from Israel. They were getting their trainings, by the way, in the northern part of Jordan. So why would they be affected if they are the people coordinating with these terrorists and telling them where to hit and when to hit? And if you think for 1 second that what was happening today in Jobar, the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham brigades in Jobar, if you think that this has nothing to do with what happened 2 days ago with the Israeli attack, then you are definitely on the wrong page here. This was actually the result, or this was the answer of the Israeli entity back by unleashing these terrorists against the people of Damascus. They have been shelling Damascus for the past 24 hours. This is part of the answer of the downing of the jet plane over the occupied Palestinian territories.
Number of instances, Jeffrey Alderman, that associate Israel with support for these terrorists. We could talk about Netanyahu and the field hospital in the Golan Heights. We could talk about the former Israeli Minister of Military Affairs, Moshe Yaalon, admitting to it. Also, Israel's intelligence chief admitting back in June 16 to the fact that it's better to have these terrorists here. Of course, he said he prefers Daesh over Assad. Why is Israel not coming out defending itself?
We have a new regime, a new government in the USA, and this is a factor that Jerusalem is having to come to terms with. Now, on the one hand, one might think from various public statements that he's made that President Donald Trump would support any action that Israel takes. On the other hand, my information is that privately, behind closed doors, President Trump has made it clear to Israel that he regards certain actions as red lines that he does not want Israel to cross. And I think Israel, as I may say, many governments, certainly here in Western Europe, are still feeling their way with Donald Trump. What would he approve of? What would he not approve of? And I think that is partly the answer to your question about why Israel is hesitating over this issue.
Well, Marwa Osman, in closing, if we're going to talk about the U.S. role here, first of all, no condemnation of what has happened, and that's kind of a given based on what Israel has done. But the U.S. has been somewhat quiet, hasn't it, when it comes to Syria? It hasn't really taken a direction as of yet, Marwa Osman. Why do you think that is? Is it because of Trump's internal problems in the U.S., or has he not reached a deal with Russia, maybe, on the matter?
No, it has nothing to do with the internal bickerings inside of the United States of America. I mean, the plan is still going on. The plan that was put by the Obama administration is still going on with the new Trump administration. We have seen what happened in Raqqa. They are actually increasing the number of boots inside of Syria, or inducing new number of boots inside of Syria, which is illegal, which is against every law, but we're not going to go there. We also saw the air raids that happened in West Aleppo 2 days ago, when they targeted a mosque that has that had 300 people praying there. I don't care if they were terrorists or not. It was a mosque with people praying, and they bombed it. Point. At the same time, they are now bombing the Al-Qaeda affiliates, which 2 months ago they were holding red flags against the Russian forces and the Syrian Arab Army for targeting these same terrorists inside of Aleppo while liberating the city from these terrorists. Now, we are actually seeing some sort of a new coordination with the Russians on that matter, but we don't see them politically. What I mean politically is in an Astana talks or in Geneva. We haven't seen this, if you will, this pressure that we used to see with John Kerry. We still don't see that from the United States of America, maybe because Donald Trump, before he actually got into office, was saying that he trusts that Russia is doing the right thing and he would like to coordinate with them, especially in what's going on the ground in Syria. But to be honest with you, I just don't trust any American administration when it comes to the Middle Eastern wars, because they were the main people who actually started this. I mean, it's all started by them backing the wrong people in our region.
I do apologize. Marwa Osman, we're just fresh out of time. Marwa Osman, their political commentator, and also Jeffrey Alderman, thank you, historian, political commentator. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate from Mikova Tabway. The entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.